welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 157, and we're recording right here as we speak at the Don Patterson's house.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's Forest View in Hudson, Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's out on West Forest View Road in the beautiful confines of Hudson.
Yeah. Okay. It's May 9th, 2006, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be talking the next hour about building, repairing, maintaining, all designed, of course, with a blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Yeah, something different here today. Sitting out here at Don Patterson's in the country, huh?
I guess since we're at Don Patterson's house, I probably should have introduced him first. Don Patterson is here, though.
I am here.
He's in the building.
In
the building.
In the house. Sitting in the house under the air conditioning. Well, we're gonna do this outside, but it's a little steamy and just downright hot
too
to me.
Humid out
yeah.
there. You better believe it.
Excess humidity.
Pretty My name's warm. Tom Houston, but here's the guy that created this thing, and he's the producer of it. Also, he's wearing his Blind Handyman T-shirt today, I might add.
I'm the only one, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
You'd have thought you'd all worn your Handyman T-shirts. I've got T-shirts for all women now.
Oh, cool.
Some large, some small. We'd rather not say which are which, but yeah. We do. Anyway, we have T-shirts for all the ladies. This is kind of an echoey room. It's kind of a... Kind of a like being in an auditorium.
Sounds
it's
a little
got
bit different.
It's a big kind of a big room. Don's house is large, three bedrooms, and
beautiful,
plus a bonus room. And how many acres, Don?
About 3.75.
In beautiful Hudson.
Beautiful Hudson, the subsidiary.
Hudson, Texas.
There is a Hudson that's incorporated. We are not part of that. So consequently, if there are any benefits to being in the incorporated part of Hudson, we do not share them.
So
that means no animal control, really no police except for Sheriff Angelina County, volunteer fire department. I understand they set most of the fires. And of course, all the stray animals you can round up.
You do get a lot of stray animals here, don't you?
In the country, you do.
Yes, but this is not incorporated Hudson?
This is not that part.
Right. Whoever's moving to Mike has to quit now.
We're just part of the Hudson School District, and we get Hudson water.
You do.
Yeah.
All right. Houston will now set his mic where he wants it.
Oh, okay. It's set.
Is it where you want it?
Where it needs to be.
So,
anyway, when you're out in the country, I'm talking about putting dogs and stuff like that out.
Yeah.
I've got two dogs, and both of them were put out in front of my house, and adopted them.
Oh, and it's sad.
They're good dogs.
Yeah. We saw the car. Nobody got a license number on it. And they put out the prettiest little, some kind of a terrier. I mean, this is the kind of dog you would pay money for.
Yeah.
And we just happened to have one of Emily's college friends was here, and a dog lover, and she said, well, I want that dog.
All right.
I named him Rodney.
Right.
The dog's name is Rodney, and now he lives in the lap of luxury in Houston. She has a big beach house in Galveston that she goes to and takes Rodney every weekend.
Well, it seems like
very
at my house, and I'm out in Burke, out in the country.
Yeah, you're out in the country also.
And it seems like the dogs they put out are always female. And so both of mine are females, and neither one of them is going to have any puppies.
Well, that's what they don't want. They don't want those females having
no puppies.
They don't want them breeding.
In my two cats that came out of a litter of four or five, because we found one that had been killed and one wild one that I never made friends with, and I kept these two. But all of our animals are neutered and spayed. Of course, I got the vet bill to prove that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's really the only way to keep animals.
Well, this is in the country, but their houses around. I mean, there's nobody plowing fields next door.
No
corn growing.
We're restricted, I mean, according to the laws of the subdivision that we're a part of. However, we are on the corner and right across the street, whatever Hudson would allow, they could do. I mean, in our subdivision proper, you can't, like, move a mobile home in, or you can't have farm animals. You can have a horse, but no farm. But across the street, I could do nothing. You know, they want to. I mean,
so they could put
pig farm, junk car.
Who was it? The guy said safe sex on the farm was putting an X on the animals that bit. That's terrible.
This was a family show.
It is. I thought it was a family show. She wouldn't tell stuff like it. He'll probably call it. call the house. But, you know, I didn't realize that this wasn't Incorporated Hudson.
No, sir.
I know a couple guys that licensed a radio station to Hudson one time.
Really? Yeah, I did
really.
Too.
And had it taken away from them.
Had it taken away from them?
No, had it removed from us. Someone else got it. It's off the air now, by the way. Did I tell you that's been on for 2 months?
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah, he's 96.3 has been on for 2 months.
Well, what is he going to sell it or what?
I have no idea. He'd like to sell it. I'm sure.
Good luck to him.
He's probably better off trying to sell it with it off the programming he was running.
Probably.
I think so.
So anyway, I guess we ought to read some list mail, sir. You brought some, didn't you?
Okay, yes, sir. I got a few here.
It says, good guy.
This afternoon I picked out my anniversary gift at Home Depot. It's a 5-inch circular saw with laser guidings.
Hmm.
Both of us thought we were getting a line-powered saw. When I took it out of the box, I discovered it needs a rechargeable battery. My use for it is not cutting 2x4s, but sheet plywood and particle board.
Mm-hmm.
I can see enough that if I draw the cut line with a magic marker, I can line up the laser beam and make a good cut.
Okay.
I wonder what the opinions are on the list. Should I go and buy a battery or take it back and get a line-powered saw? I won't be using it every day, just a few times a year, and this is Max.
Yeah, good post. I like that post.
I'm surprised it didn't come with a battery. But
I am amazed it didn't come with a battery.
I would like to know which brand that is so I could avoid it. But however, a son-in-law has a battery saw that is quite good. It, like you said, you wouldn't want to be cutting it. You could cut a 2x4 with it, but the thing is, you know, it's not going to last all 30 minutes, 45 minutes, depending on how you're cutting. But for his use there, it sounds like he's got the right saw.
Small jaws around the house. The only comment I would have about this, and we've talked about it on the list, would be, if you only use it, though, 2 or 3 times a year, and the reason I say this, I have a battery-powered drill that, since the fence project, I may use it 3 or 4 times a year. And because of not exercising the battery a lot, the battery's already got where it doesn't last very long.
They're kind of like a portable phone then. I've got a portable phone in one of the rooms at the house, and I don't take it off the hook very often. And the one I do take off the hook every day and charge at night stays charged, and you can talk on it for a long time.
Those batteries need to be exercised.
I would suggest
they really do.
A lot of these things come in kind of kit form where they have mix and match tools. Like, along with the son-in-law's saw, he also has a flashlight that uses the same battery.
Yeah.
So if you could find a flashlight that made by that same company that uses that battery, then buy it and use the batteries often in your flashlight.
Yeah, that would work now.
Of course, the new nickel metal hydride batteries aren't nearly as bad about doing that. They're very forgiving. And you can, as from what I've read, you can put them in the charger and leave them. They know when they're charged, and they won't charge anymore. And so you can just leave them in the charger. Now, but I'm just still amazed. Don't belabor this point, but where the hell did they sold him a saw without a battery?
And then the battery's the battery's going to be extra. Yeah,
they need to sell the battery.
This is Robinson Max.
Yeah,
he's anal retentive enough. He'd keep the saw charged up. I'd take it back.
But I can't believe that Max let him get to him.
I can't either.
I mean, come on,
doesn't sound like it.
Max is as sharp as any person I've ever met. Sighted, blind, or otherwise, I've ever met.
Yeah.
You don't ask a question that Max Robinson doesn't have some idea of the answer. All right.
Everybody
needs to get their mic where it goes, because that's really making a lot of noise.
I didn't move it that time there. That wasn't me. Who did it?
I think it was me drumming on that.
Because that's really making a lot of noise. Hey, you want to wear the headphones?
No.
Sure, you want to wear the headphones a minute?
One nice thing about this mic prop. One thing about this saw deal, though, is if you didn't have a cord to worry about, which you wouldn't, of course, on a battery. You wouldn't have the problem like I did with this guy cutting my skill saw cord.
Well, I know the idiot that cut your skill saw cord.
I don't see how he kept from getting electrocuted.
I don't either.
It seems like a blind guy to me would be better off with the battery thing rather than the cord, because the cord could be dangerous.
I had a sawzall that you didn't remember, that one, that battery one?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fine. It would last. It ran a long time, and I lost it in the hurricane. But now I'm gonna go buy another one.
Yeah.
But it had a big old chargeable battery. It just had one. But man, it was pretty sharp. Sawzall.
Yeah.
Where'd Pat go? We lost
him. He's running in here.
Make me a sandwich while you're in there. I guess not.
The old refreshments.
No, food time. I'm in good shape.
I'm about there.
What do you think of those, Sean?
Yeah, it works fine.
They do.
Sound pretty good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're in good shape.
We're in good shape with Allstate. Go ahead, Houston.
Do you want another listmail here?
Yes, sir.
Here's a guy. He's got a guy coming tomorrow to talk about replacing the screened-in bird cage around his pool. He would also like to extend the patio, which is concrete. Does anyone have any experience or advice on things I need to make sure it gets done right? I realize a general question, but I figure anything I can learn before I talk to the contractor, the better. Yes, planning to get at least 3 estimates. Plan to check out any contractor before I sign on the dotted line. One question perhaps someone has experience with. One side I would like to extend is where one of my septic tanks is located.
Huh.
Not the field, but the tank is about 8 feet to one side. Anyone know how close I can come with concrete? Fellow named Bill.
I have no idea, but I wouldn't really worry about it. You can go right into the septic tank. Why couldn't you?
Yeah,
what would be the difference?
You know, the only reason you'd ever want that lid to come off that septic tank is to clean it, obviously. And I think they actually can pump it out. They knock a plug out of it. I don't know if they have to necessarily remove the lid. I would not pour concrete on top of it.
Oh, I wouldn't either, but I'd get
but
as close
I would,
as I
would, you
know.
Could be there just close enough to
oh, you would think. Yeah,
right up
yeah,
against it.
So.
On the screened-in porch work, well, I have 2 comments on both right. his projects. I would, if you do not know the fellow or... fellers or ladies, whoever's going to do that project, I would want to see some of their work or maybe getting a written recommendation from tell them, maybe, you know, just ask them, do you have something I can go see? What, you know,
yeah.
Also, and then I don't know what kind of restrictions you have. You know, are they going to be licensed and all that in your area? The concrete, I don't know if you're talking about just concrete or like this cool deck that they put around the pools.
Which is what you need.
Cool deck is expensive, depending on where you get it done. And it is cool to the feet, but almost in some cases, I would not do it again. I did ours, and it was very expensive, but it's easily scratched. It's hard to, like, use lawn equipment around, like even a weed eater, if you do it wrong, it'll knock, you know. So they make a paint, which I have, to the tune of $80-something dollars a gallon that you can touch
wow.
it up with. But
you have cool deck around your pool, sir.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but, it is. It's the same, sure.
Anyway, so you might consider the options. You know, just plain concrete, and then you might could paint it with something. Or
but that plain concrete is hot.
It's hot.
Oh, neighbor. We don't have cool deck.
Yeah.
But we're going to have. That would probably be, if we ever get that money from Florida, I think probably we're going to have cool deck. Because that concrete is, I never realized the difference. Don is much better off.
Oh, yeah, I guess it gets plenty hot.
Oh, man.
Okay, you want to move right along here?
But the paint is $80 a gallon?
Yeah, just that you
yeah,
take
that's
out.
Rough.
I scratched. I got into mine with the rake on my tractor. I mean, and I was trying to be careful as I could. And it really, you know, the paint will fix it quite nicely. But then I was looking someplace else, and it seemed like maybe I'd used a weed eater or something. And I go, oh, there's a chuck gone, you know. So
does Emily know this?
Yeah, because and we even hired a kid, you know, to come and weed eat. And so he was really just kind of going on top because if you... and like using an edger, which I can use everywhere else, is out of the question because you'll scratch it.
Yeah. What kind of texture does this paint have to it? Is it real thick or like paste?
Well, it's thick. But it's not like the concrete. I mean, it's not near that thick. But what the deal is, it's color-coded so it's an identical match. Like ours is called desert sand or something. And so you buy the paint. The cool deck comes in colors.
Right.
And so...
That absolutely matches your...
Did you say, Phil, $80 a gallon?
That's what he said, $80 a gallon. Well, of course, one gallon for touching up would last you several years.
Would last you a while.
Oh,
but it was really closer to 90. It was 89 or something.
That's amazing. But we're going to have cool deck because that's what she wants, and I guess we need it. But that concrete is so hot. that you can't, I mean, you know how much concrete I have between the pool and the house.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. I mean, you can't, you ain't fast enough to do it, kids.
When you get ready to do that cool deck, we'll sit down and talk about it, because I have found an outlet. The people who like to put it down and charge you these exorbitant prices don't like to tell you where you can buy it yourself. But I have found the dealer in Dallas, the wholesaler, that will sell you any or as much as
you need. How would you put it down?
Well, you use a spackling, kind of like a knife. You kind of throw it down. You take it and put it on your knife, and you just kind of pat it. You swat it down. You're kind of bent over, and then you trowel it.
I can see that.
And, well, no, I say that the Tatums and all of y'all put down the tile.
They did.
I think it would be as hard as putting down floor tile.
Oh, okay. So we might do that. Well, let's do it next fall.
Yeah.
My God. Maybe she hadn't brought that up in a while. Maybe she won't do that. But I have to put flip-flops on and run out to the pool and get in, because that concrete is just, I mean, it's fiercely hot. Anyway, well, let's do one more.
Here's a guy named Andrew. He says, "Hi, guys. I haven't put a request on here before, but here goes.
All right.
Does anyone have some tips for cutting curved shapes out on a bandsaw?"
Well,
I'd say do it very carefully.
Yeah. You know, I've told this story before, but the first thing I did when I got my bandsaw was looked at it and cut a map of Texas. Just because I'd heard you could turn a board. And so it's pretty easy. I mean, what shape do you want to... wonder what shape he wants to cut. We talked about cutting circles.
Just curved shape.
Curves. No, it's pretty easy. You can move that board sliding along the bandsaw. Of course, one thing about a bandsaw, you can't use very thick stock. I mean, you need to use thin stuff.
Hmm, yeah.
But you can move a board around. You could almost move it in a circle on a bandsaw if you go real slow.
Have y'all ever seen a scroll saw?
I've got one.
Okay, that's where you can trace something.
I've got a scroll saw.
And that is why I would always wonder why a blind person didn't prefer one of those to just a plain, because you could get a letter and trace it. I mean, a curve or a pattern of something and trace it. And
you could.
Maybe cut it better.
Yes, you could. I've got a scroll saw I bought from Cleta, as a matter of fact.
You sure did.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I got a little scroll saw.
And it has the little pin that you hold with one hand and guide, and that guides your blade, right?
You can, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Of course, my brother-in-law has managed to break the blade on his scroll saw.
I'm sure he's just around the corner with
sure
a new
he's
one.
Around the corner with those new blades.
With those new blades.
Actually, yeah. I think his father-in-law came up here. Penny had something she wanted to do for Christmas. Some kind of a crazy, you know, obviously religious object she wanted to do for Christmas. I have no idea what it was. And so he came up here and cut them out, and he broke them, and he replaced them, and I think John Tatum broke them again. I'm not
so they
sure.
They must be
That's
fairly true. Easy then.
They are. I think they're pretty easy to break.
A blade on.
All right, let's see. It's 4:17. Should we take a break? What do you think?
Might as well.
Take a little break. How do we take breaks? We say, hey, listen, we're at Don Pat's house, and Don Shaw's here, Don Patterson's here, Tom Houston's here, I'm Phil Parr. Back with more of the exciting Blind Handyman Show in just a moment.
Thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Patterson's house way out here in Hudson, Texas, and we have lots more of the good blind handyman show coming up.
Did we tell them what date this is? This is the 9th of May and all.
9th of May.
And we're sitting around this big table that seats 6. I think she has leaves in this table that would seat
8.
8? Oh, 8 is all it does. Joanne, my father-in-law, John Henry's going to get married a week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow.
He's keeping up with the judge. The judge is getting married on the 20th.
Who is?
Judge Wilson.
Oh, is he? Is he marrying the girl from Corrigan?
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, Judge Wilson. Let's hear it for the judge.
What a guy.
Anyway, my father-in-law's getting married, and, of course, his lady has moved all her furniture to his house. She has a table that seats 12. Mm-hmm. I told her I'd have to invite some folks for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, what a table.
Anyway, who's first? Pat, you want to go first?
I have several times. Just some fill-in. You know, we've talked about safety issues from time to time, and specifically about certain tools like saws. But I've learned a couple of things. This project right here has been really telling and kind of taxing. I'm not going to say a lot of my problems were age-related, but I'm telling you, it takes me a day or two to recover, where I used to could just go and not take a day off.
I think that's all right.
I know the feeling.
But I sort of made some mental notes while I was there, and every time I would encounter a little situation, I would hold it to recall it on here, because I think it's something that's really pertinent to the theme of this show. I mean, the handyman and projects. And I think, first of all, you could start out talking, like I said, we've talked about saws and fingers, and that's obvious, but back on saws, you know, wear eye protection. Even if you can't see, wear eye protection. And y'all will laugh at this, but I had a wacky table saw. In fact, I sold it. I was afraid of my table saw, but when I used it, I wore my motor scooter helmet. I mean, and glasses and anything else. If I'd had a football helmet, I'd have worn it because it was intended to throw things.
Yep.
But mostly when I've encountered, what I've realized out here, and I guess I've known it all along, is clothes are important. The type of clothing you wear, depending, and really to start off with, know what project you're going to do, get the tools that you're going to do that project, have them where you can locate them, and then so you kind of do not run into any surprises. And then secondly, like I said, it's the clothes. I know a lot of people, I refuse anymore to wear a baseball cap while I'm working, and I love baseball caps, but I've climbed up my ladder about 3 times and hit something on the roof that just almost knocks your head off. Hits the bill of your cap.
Yeah.
A lot of guys need them too because they're thinning hair or what have you. Turn the baseball cap around. If you're going to wear it, wear it backwards, and it won't get. Also, safety if you're climbing a ladder. Be aware of what's above you. What is there anything to hold on to when you get to where you're going?
That's right.
You know, and like I say, the big thing is your hat. Your hat can knock you off the ladder.
At least scare the hell out of you.
And sometimes it's, you know, your subconscious, your hat gets knocked off and you try to catch it. Of course, flinging yourself off the ladder.
Not real.
Which is another point. If you have a tool, I don't care if it's your priceless nail gun or saw, if you drop it, let it go. Don't try to, and we'll get to the safety and ladders here in a minute, but mostly clothes. Let's talk about clothes. Obviously, flip-flops are out. They're gonna, yep. You know, they're not gonna give you any support in the arch of your foot, and that's where the way you climb a ladder a lot of times.
That's
it's right,
right
in the arch or on your toes. Also, though, just even I have some pretty good what I call work shoes, but they're slip-ons, and I would almost recommend a little higher top. Tie shoe when climbing up a ladder.
Why?
Because I would go up these extension ladders. If you're extended, going up, there's a part that sticks out at the bottom that, as you're stepping up, can catch the top of your shoe.
That's true. And
if you're coming down and you're wearing shorts and they're floppy shorts, the top of your shorts will go over the thing and you'll be trying to take a step
yeah.
in your hump.
Obviously, yeah. this has happened to you.
It has happened
as
to me.
As you were stumbling up the ladder. You
right. And especially, and then you want to get into.
I love it.
Like, okay. Carrying things up the ladder, you know. All right, let me see that hammer and crowbar right quick. And you go up there, and then all of a sudden you realize, you know, you're holding on with one hand. Well, sometimes, depending on how you carry the stuff, and if it's heavy enough, they can actually throw you out of balance. And so, you know, you want to be careful about that. If you're working up over your head on a ladder and, you know, you've got a place to lay tools, it's okay to leave something up there. You don't have to carry. I found myself carrying my hammer. Every time I'd come down the ladder and have the stupid hammer in my hand, I'd say, well, I'm going right back up and I need it. Clothes. They make clothes, even shorts, if you'd like to wear shorts, that have the strap.
I was going to say, hammer. If I was going to do a project like you'd been doing, I would have hammer loop jeans and a nail apron.
And a nail apron or a leather pouch for a tool belt for all kind of good stuff. And like I say, also I found in the particular project I was doing, and that's why I say, have in mind what you're doing, what you're trying to do, and what you need to do it. And I always say this, have something, well, because I have some sight, this may not be so important for a blind person unless he was getting somebody to cut for him, have a pencil. I get up the top of the ladder and want to mark, no pencil. Come back down the ladder.
Yep.
Have something to push with and something to pull with. And in my situation, I'm talking about a pipe vise when I was trying to squeeze these rafters together instead of trying to brute strength and hold it with all your might and hammer, because you'll hit your finger and probably or fall off the ladder. You'll pull yourself.
You took your pipe vise up there?
I took my pipe vise up there.
Really?
And then if you want to push them apart, some of them I would want to squeeze together, some I'd push apart, so I cut a board a little longer. Then they
and you
need
can put it diagonal and
drive it in there.
Tapping it in. Yeah. That's the deal.
And so I always say have something to push and pull. Another thing real about ladders that we'll talk about after the clothing, like I said, just proper clothes, but good, sensible shirts. If you're going to wear a long-sleeve shirt, you're better off probably with the shirt tail in and the sleeves buttoned. If you're wearing T-shirts, try not to wear real floppy clothes because that, you know, get a kind of good fit because they'll hang up on things that you wouldn't imagine.
Yep.
Ladders. You know, just because it says it's a 20-foot extension ladder, doesn't mean you're going to get up 20 foot up in the air and be safe. Most ladders, actually, the third step from the top is the last usable step. For some people that are blind may not can see it, but on every ladder I've ever owned, the second to the top step and the top step, there's a sign that says caution. This is not a step. This step is not to be used.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I have a 6-foot step ladder. The maximum height that I should climb on that ladder is 3 feet 10 inches. The reach with me being, a 6 foot tall person, I'm 5'10 or so, is actually 10 feet 11 inches. That's as high as they recommend you try to reach. And I'd say that most accidents on ladders involve somebody overreaching or just getting out of balance.
Out of balance. That's it.
Ladder inspection. There's certain kinds of ladders I won't own. I will not own a wooden ladder. I don't care for wooden ladders. Small ladders, aluminum is acceptable, but they're very light. They tend to slide. They, you know, in the house, a little lightweight aluminum 4-foot step ladder, it's fine. I had an aluminum extension ladder, and as I've put on the pounds in life, it's bouncy when you get up in the middle, especially if you're extended any height. So here, I bought I bought a fiberglass ladder, and that is my choice.
I've got a 20-foot fiberglass ladder.
20-foot
that
fiberglass.
I've had. I think this is the second one. Somebody stole the first one. But it'll go 20 feet, but of course you can't use all 20
feet. Right, about 16 is what you could get your body up to, and then with your height.
It's a little heavier than the aluminum ladder would be.
It's harder to handle.
But it slides up and clicks every time it goes, and it's very stationary. And very, I'm not afraid of it.
No, I'm not either, and I was afraid on my aluminum ladder. Like I say, wooden ladders, I've actually seen them break. Literally just a board break. Keep in mind, you know, the care. A wood ladder would last a lot longer if it's kept inside when you're not using it. But ladders are rated. I prefer anymore to buy Werner ladders, Werner. And I've got a step ladder that's a fiberglass and an extension. This wouldn't help a totally blind person, but it would help somebody if they were with him and he could tell them they're color coded. Their red ladders are rated at 300 pounds. Their yellow ladders are rated at 375. They have some ladders that are rated at 225 pounds, which I just passed up real quick. You know,
because so you've got the 250. Ladder. Well, what color would that be, Don?
No, I have 250's green.
Oh, that's the old green ladder.
Or blue. No, I said if they had somebody with them, it would help.
It would help. In other words, if you go to Lowe's, don't just look at a ladder and think, this is the one I want.
Yeah.
You need to get somebody to see what the weight rating is on it.
And the height, the recommended height and the reach and all that.
Yeah.
And so... also, another thing on the ladder is like when you're setting the ladder up. I'm sure yours is the same way. Mine has the feet on the ladder can go in two different positions. They can go flat, like if you're on concrete and they cut a rubber pad, but they will also flip up at just like a 90-degree thing, and they have little prongs on them, little fork that will go down in the dirt. This helps you a lot, especially on kind of unlevel ground. It'll help the ladder.
Yeah, but you want to be careful that doing that kind of.
Now.
Doing that kind of stuff. Oh, are you Sue's? Who's someone took my?
That's Shaw.
Shaw's going for refreshment.
Is he taking care of?
Let's hear it for Don Shaw. That's a nice hand for Don Shaw.
That's kind of about it. Just some common sense, but then also a little knowledge about, you know, it's like you say, you go to Lowe's and come home with a ladder and it's not big enough.
Make sure that ladder, before you start up it, is steady. Make sure that it's flat like it's supposed to be, and that it's not going to rock, or it's not going to, that you don't have it over off the edge of the concrete, and when you get up there, it's going to tip.
Yeah.
Or it's going to move, or, you know, you want it to be flat and steady before you start.
And don't put it at too low of angle. I mean, it's where you're climbing. You know, you want more incline than not, because it also really weakens the integrity of if you go up at certain angles. If you've got it where you're going up a shallow slope, then you're really, your ladder's kind of not positioned properly. And... I guess that was
us tacking a shingle on we're outside here, but you say if you go up a shallow, I almost like a ladder. I mean, I don't like it. I like it pretty much straight up.
Well, yeah, I don't go straight up because you've got to have something to hold you.
Yeah, you want it a little angle.
Again, even on the ladder, it'll tell you kind of how to position it, and you want more steepness than. You know, then where you're just going almost at a 45-degree, you know.
In other words, you want it before the 45. 45 would be way too far.
Yes.
Too steep.
Yes.
An angle.
Too big an angle, but it would make your ladder actually going up at a less grade.
And at a less grade, because if your ladder goes up at more grade than that, then you're out in the middle, and all that's holding you is where the ladder's put together.
Yeah,
right. And also, it says about and I've been guilty of this a lot of times, using my ladder as a platform. I mean, I have actually used it lengthwise, laying between two sawhorses
like
instead of 2x12, and they that is really supposed to be a no-no.
They don't like you to do that. Do they? They're again that. Of course, you took on an awfully big project, and there would be blind people who could do a project like you. I think Dale Levins could, and there are blind people who could do that. But that was a pretty big project, building the garage and And, of course, you got a lot of help on the pavilion and stuff.
Yeah, the pavilion, I've really been, I mean, I've done quite a bit of it, but I've also been just a subcontractor.
But the garage, you built by yourself from scratch.
The frame.
They poured a slab. You laid the plate. You stick framed the walls. You stood them up. You tied them together with rafters. Mm-hmm. You put the joists up. You ran the ridge pole. You did all that.
Siding, wiring, plumbing.
It is.
Everything but the
hell of a project.
And it turned out that get a lot of compliments. It's really functional.
Everybody says you were your husband-in-law was wanting to listen to some Blind Like Me shows. He said, you know, this guy my wife's ex-wife's married to now built a garage. I couldn't even begin to do that. It's funny.
Well, he's getting, my husband-in-law is getting a woman that he won't have to worry about building any.
He won't see no P-Rose or no bios or nothing, will he? That's good. I'm proud of him. You want to? It's just as easy to marry a rich girl as it is a poor one. But listen, where were we? We're talking about ladders.
Yeah.
Climb every mountain. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, ladders can be dangerous, but an old blind guy can. You can. There's lots of stuff you can and can't do. A lot of stuff you should and shouldn't do. But you know, safety is important. Be careful. Don't know what you're getting into when you climb. If you don't know what you're getting into, go slow.
Yeah, and a lot of the safety tips we're pointing out have really nothing to do with being blind. Like, even a sighted person, you know, I have enough sight, but a lot of times I would forget what was up over my head, you know, and go up the ladder 90 miles an hour and boom, crash into that.
You could just knock yourself out if you hit the beam going up the ladder quick, sighted or blind.
And then the incident with the nail gun falling on my head, see, and that was just
could happen to anybody.
I mean, that was just carelessness.
That was just carelessness. I can't believe you let that happen. And you should have had a place to put that, in fact, I borrowed a nail gun from you one time, a small one that had a hanger on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That little one, it wasn't a Brad gun, it's a size bigger than that.
Yeah.
But it had a deal on the end where you could hang it on the fence.
That was this one.
That's the one that fell on your head.
I could have hung it up there.
You should have hung it up on the on the ladder.
And also one other thing about saws that crossed my mind too while cutting is I know it sometimes you get in a hurry or sometimes you're just taking on a task that you haven't planned exactly, like trying to cut, say, the first cut on a 16-foot long board. And then not everybody has a 16-foot long table or sawhorse set up.
Yeah.
And so you tend to say, oh, well, I'll just lay it here and I'll hold it or squeeze it down. Well, sometimes that end is still, that you're cutting, is cocked up. It's not laying flat in the little cradle of the saw. And, buddy, that will throw. Well, first of all, it won't give you a nice cut, but it makes the saw prone to throw pieces of wood.
Man, you can buy these little, I've got two of them. They're things that they're a little deal that's adjustable height-wise that you can buy two of these for $10 that you can put a board on. It'll hold the board and let the board, allow the board to roll.
To be level.
Yeah, to be level.
Yeah, and roll.
You can level the board and it'll allow it to roll into your chop saw. Everybody needs a cup, $20 worth of those, four of those. I think I've got four of them. But they're cheap. I bought them at the home show that comes through here every once in a while.
Yeah.
And they allow the board. They've got little rollers on top. And you just lay the board on there, level it up, tighten the thing down, and then as it moves toward you, it rolls on these little rollers. And so you're not trying to hold it or clamp it with your C-clamp or your vice grips or hold it. You know, it's just much, as far as I'm concerned, a whole lot safer than.
Yeah, that definitely be a handy thing to have around in the shop.
Since we're talking about saws,
yes.
Could I ask a question?
Well, no.
You handyman.
No, you can send it in on the list.
This mail.
And we'll get to it.
Put it on the list now. Okay.
And we will get to it in good time.
We'll get to our own good time.
If you've got like a 2x10, 2x12 piece of wood, and you want to cut from one corner to the opposite corner on the other end, which would be the best saw to use?
You want to cut that in two and make a cup two triangles out of it?
Yes.
But how long is the board?
How
four
long
feet.
Is the board?
It
four
would be
feet
four
long?
Feet, yes.
You want to make two triangles?
Yes.
I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, I just wonder.
I know exactly what you're trying
I
to
know,
do.
I know you've got table saw over there, Phil. Would that be the thing to use?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It would for you. Because you can see the line.
Yeah.
And so you can start at one edge of that board, and once it's lined up fairly well, you know, we'll draw a line from corner to corner and move all the fences out of the way, and you'll just slide across there and follow the line.
And it would work.
Well, sure it'll work.
You know, I was thinking skill saw.
You can cut a straight line with a skill saw.
You're not on mic, sir. Well, I've lost your voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. My guide wouldn't help you in that situation.
Wouldn't help you at all.
But I say, if you could see the heavy, you know, like the partially sighted guy earlier saying he can see a marker, a dark marker. I could, if I could draw a heavy enough line, my weapon of choice would be a skill saw. But
if I was going to do that, I would, as a sighted person, you can just walk along the line. I mean, you can draw your line from corner to corner, and once we get it all lined up, you can just push the board across the saw.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand there, you know, prop yourself up and push the board across the saw. If I was going to do it, I would take this piece of angle iron I've got, which is about 5 feet long, and I would set it at the angle I wanted, and I could do it. I could push it across.
Are you making runners for a ramp?
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's an easier way to build that.
There'd be a whole lot easier way to build.
What would be the easier way?
Well, you don't want to cut that. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a steep ramp, big boy. You're going to come down that one and be over.
Well, I'm not sure. I forget my measurement on the height of the going into the door.
Yeah.
Well, if you need it, I would take how long you want your ramp? 4 feet long?
Well, it's got to be 4 feet long.
Okay,
to
but
work.
The height will be fine. Who cares about the height? Well, we'll raise it up with square boards from the bottom. Go ahead, Ben.
No, I would take that board, that 2x12, and rip it in half and have two 2x6s, and then just fit it at whatever angle you want, and then are you going to be going into dirt or concrete? Is it going to be sitting on concrete? Or
no, it would be coming down on my back porch and going back up through the utility room.
Yeah, so it's going to be at one of your doors.
Man, you're not just that little drop off of the little back porch.
Yeah,
cutting that board like that sounds like is a good idea. It would give you what you want, but I think it'd be harder than to just rip the board and cut angles on the ends.
Well, yeah, but the only thing that makes any difference is the angle at the top, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to cut two of those angles. You're going to cut that. That's going to be 4 feet long. You're going to be out down by the creek.
Oh no!
Coming off that 4 foot.
Well, no, I've tried. You know the little the ramp that I bought, the portable ramp.
The one that's over your house. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I tried it, and it's 3 feet long.
And it's not quite long enough.
It's too steep. Too steep.
I'd say it probably
was. I bet it was steep. All right.
That's what I'm thinking. I'd like to see you come off of it.
I went down it fine, but coming back up was something else.
Man. I bet it was. I'd like to see you, because ladies and gentlemen, here he is. I'd like to see you do that. That'd be pretty cool. Barbara, this friend of Luann's in New Orleans, her builder was going to be real bright, and he built her a little ramp. It's about this long. Coming out of her den onto her screened-in back porch, she said, "The first time I did it, you know, the first time I came off with it, my wheelchair was on the clear on the other side before I realized it." It was because she didn't have an electric wheelchair at that time. So that would we can do that. I wonder what the height is. The height isn't about 4 inches, is it?
Oh no, it's higher than that.
Is it higher than that?
Yeah, it would be closer to 9 than 4.
Drop down from your house onto that back porch?
Yeah. What I want to do, is I want to use 5/4 lumber, which is just exactly what the deck's built out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the ramp to be 5/4 lumber coming down. Mm-hmm. So it'll match everything.
And so you can't buy one of those portable ramps like you bought. You can't buy it any longer?
Oh, yeah, you can buy one, but I figure I've invested all I'm going to invest in portable ramps.
When you're saying 5/4, is this decking material?
Yeah.
Does that mean an inch and a quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so you could build that thing out and get you a couple or three deck boards.
But you're saying the drop from your kitchen when is 9 inches?
About 9, I would say. Yeah.
Wow. How do you get out on that porch?
Oh, I usually just get on my crutches and go out on the porch, but I mean...
Okay, you want your wheelchair to go out on.
Yeah, and I've had it out there one time with that little ramp that I have at your house, but it won't work. It's not. It needs to be a foot longer.
Well,
anyway...
What time is it? By heavens, we've done 42 minutes. I guess what we ought to do is take a break, and Shawboy had some stuff you wanted to talk about, didn't you, Donald?
plumbing.
Why don't we, let's take a little break and we'll talk plumbing.
My
with
last
Don
least favorite thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, certainly one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Tom Houston is here, and we're at Donald Patterson's house, and of course he's here, Don Shaw's here, and I'm Phil Park. We'll be back in just a minute with more of the Blind Like Me show. Hang on.
A website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sites, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you a real old-time radio nut? Well, I have found the perfect site for you. And the best part is, it's totally free, especially if you're a blind or visually impaired person. It's called www.fear, that's F as in Frank, E-A-R, youcanhear.com. This site has thousands and thousands of old-time radio shows on the site. What you do is you go to the site, you sign up for free, totally free, as a blind or visually impaired person or a person with a disability, and you can download thousands of hours of old-time radio programming or play them at your computer right on the site. They're in MP3 format. Everything from Amos and Andy to Johnny Dollar to Box 13 to Lone Ranger, Fibber McGee and Molly, tons and tons of radio shows that'll give you hours and hours of listening pleasure. The site's very easy to navigate. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. The site again is www.fearyoucanhear.com. For Blind Sites, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
Well, I think I said Blind Like Me. This is actually the Blind Handyman Show, and we're back. With Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston, and I'm Phil Farr. And we're at Don Pat's house on the 9th of May of 2006. And
affectionately known as Bear Claw Estates.
Affectionately known as Bear Claw Estates. And Emma is asleep.
Emma is asleep.
I can't believe she'd miss a thing like this.
Couldn't sleep through all this.
Wonderful.
Possibly could.
Well, she had a busy, we had a fun-filled and really it was a fun weekend, but it was tiring. I mean, after a while, it's tiring. I mean, fixing and doing and entertaining 30,
having relatives,
30-something folks.
Good, that's great.
They all went out to the big farm and rode four-wheelers, and then they swam, and then she had to get up, early Monday morning and drive 250 miles, to Palestine up and go to her father's school away. So she's kind of tired.
She's probably tired of us.
Well,
tired of company.
Certainly couldn't blame her for that. Mr. Shaw, you want to talk about plumbing?
I just had a little deal come up that I'm actually working on a project. Off and on as we speak. And this has been discussed. I think Kevin Doucet, in fact, talked about this a year or so. Someone on the list talked about it a year or so ago. Removing a front water faucet off of a pipe. Just talking about how hard it was, this person on the list, to take the faucet off of the pipe.
Yeah.
I think we might have talked about it on the show, actually. And this guy and his brother, I think, actually did this project.
Where they ended up bending the pipe.
Well, I got into a similar deal, except it wasn't quite that bad. Luckily, my faucet did come off. Luckily, it did. But I got into a deal here last week or so, and the front water faucet out of the front of the house that comes, the pipe faucet comes through the brick. The faucet leaked. I mean, it was like a slow leak, just a drip.
Uh-huh.
But I said, man, I really need to replace that.
Now, this is the one that if you're standing in front of your playroom door, is right to the left.
That's right.
Okay.
The very same.
I know what you're talking about. It's never been replaced as far as I know.
It was probably the original material. I would agree with
never
that.
Never been replaced.
I would definitely agree with that. Anyway, went out to the street to turn off the water. And, of course, in the city with the city water systems, usually most folks, I guess, have a what they call, I always called it a T. that had a little slot on one end and a T-handle on the other end, and you just turn it with that. Would be the easy way to do it. But I've never had one of those, so I kind of...
You don't have a water key?
No, I sure don't.
Why didn't you call me?
So, well...
I do.
That's good to know.
I have a water key because I lived there. And
yeah.
I bought one because I lived there, and I took it with me.
I've got two of them.
I could have left
it
for you.
Lost the first one and got the other one.
Well, you should have called
the old one.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
So what'd you do?
I messed around, and I took a...
You can do it with vice grips.
A big crescent wrench, actually.
That'll
and
work.
I put a big... screwdriver through the handle of it and kind of made like a key like that, and it worked. I mean, it worked okay anyway.
You can turn the water off.
Turn the water off like that. Got the water turned off. Got back up to the house and took a couple of crescent wrenches, one big one to kind of put around and hold the faucet with, and the other one to turn. My original idea was to take the stem out of the faucet. And rather than taking off the faucet, just take the stem out and take it down to our favorite local hardware store here.
Have you done it? Yeah.
And I did. I got the stem out. Luckily, it came out fairly easier, really, than what it probably should have. Got the nut off, and I was going to take the handle off to unscrew the faucet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the handle was the one thing that I guess probably was also the original. And the screw was rusted in the middle, so I couldn't get the handle off. Took a pair of vice grips to it, and that kind of finished it off.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up taking off the whole stem, handle, and everything, taking it down to Abney Daniels, our favorite hardware store there. And believe it or not, they couldn't match me up with a stem.
Oh.
Because they said the problem is there's about 5 jillion faucet manufacturers, and we don't know what brand faucet that this came out of. Could you bring the faucet down to us? So I said, well, I don't know. I'll go home and I'll see if I can get the rest of the faucet off. And sure enough, I guess this is where I was lucky, but it did come off. I had enough room between the faucet and the brick to get a crescent wrench in behind there, and grabbed onto the pipe with the crescent wrench, which had a nut, on the end of the pipe, held it with one crescent wrench and unscrewed the faucet with the other one. I mean, it was tight, but it was
doable. I'm amazed that came off.
I'm surprised. Really, I was lucky. I was really lucky there that it came off.
I'm amazed you didn't snap that copper pipe in two.
I am too, because I thought about that, man. I thought, boy, if I have to call a plumber, that's just...
Well, see, that's what happened in the back of the house, taking that faucet in the back off. The nighttime it froze, I snapped the pipe off. And you talk about a sick feeling. And this guy came along. Well, I'm trying to upstage your story.
No.
This guy came along and said, I said, well, how am I going to stop this leaking? I can't turn the water back on. You know what he did? He took a stick and tapped a stick up in there, and it leaked a little bit, tick, 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 but it wasn't bad. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, so you got
the
faucet.
Well, that was the thing I was going to talk about. Have any of you guys ever, the thing is, when I get into plumbing, I kind of have a problem with plumbing because I think about stuff like that. I say, well, boy, if I break this pipe, I always think about the worst case. I always think about, boy, what if this does happen? Well, now, I just wonder if anybody else thinks about stuff like that.
Well, I do, but my only question is, especially if I was going to go to that big a project, I don't know that I have ever replaced a stem in a faucet in my life. I would have just went immediately for the new faucet.
That's what I should have done.
But here's the thing. I got into a situation, except I was just lucky. I guess I had a little presence of mind, but I had connected the new garage that I built to the water supply coming out of the old garage. I used an outside faucet that was there that after I built the garage was not necessary because that put it inside.
Yeah.
And so I had my trusty pipe wrench, one of my dad's that I cherish, probably 60, 70-year-old piece of equipment. And I was fixing to really put the muscle on it. I said, I wonder if these are brazed on here and not threaded. And lo and behold, the swimming pool guy came. That's their plumber and electrician. Just happened to come to do something to our pool. And I said, Randy, come look. And he said, well, if you're thinking about taking that hydrant off, don't use that pipe wrench. And so he got his torch out of his truck and took it off for me. So I would have broke pipe inside.
Why would they braze that? Why would they?
All of my hydrants on my house are brazed.
Who'd you use? Remind me not to use him.
Well, luckily, this pipe I was working with has like a nut on the end of it or something that's brazed onto the end of this copper pipe that the faucet can screw into, luckily. But, boy, I could have run into, I guess, to the same deal.
See, the thing about plumbing is with electricity, if you screw up, you're without one breaker. You may have the garage may be off for 2-3 days.
Yeah.
With water, entire house.
Yeah,
she can't take a bath. She can't wash clothes. You screwed up big time. With electricity, you may get by with it. Oh, well, honey, we'll fix that. With water, the entire house, they ought to section off the water. Ought to go through a little path.
Well, let me qualify. Let's just say this faucet was brazed. I couldn't swear to my other ones. And oddly enough, coming when I think back on it, this faucet was added as a last. Hey, you guys forgot to put the faucet there that I wanted.
That's a complicated. To me, I guess what they didn't want to thread the pipe, so they just heated up a torch and brazed. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it'd sure be difficult replacing them.
It sure would.
It'd be terrible. I'd use, I thought everybody used PVC pipe now.
No, copper's. I think you have to use copper.
Yeah, Gordon just plumbed a lake house for a friend of his, and he said he wanted all copper, so he used all copper. Just finished it yesterday.
Anyway, my problem still is, and why this is an ongoing project, is because after all that, after all this and all the faucets coming off and everything getting worked out, when I got the new faucet, I took the old faucet down to the hardware store, ended up buying a new faucet, which is what probably the way it should have gone to start. Anyway, got it home, put some Teflon tape around the threads on the pipe,
screwed
the new faucet back on, and guess what? It's still leaking. Just a slight little drip.
Now,
it's a metal faucet, or
what is leaking around the where you put the faucet on?
I think it just didn't tight enough.
You should have put some pipe dope.
That's what I.
Yeah, not Teflon.
That's what I think
Teflon
I'm going to do.
Teflon on plastic, I think.
I think I'm going to shut off the water and just take the faucet off, put some pipe dope on, which I have at home, and put it back on.
All right, that's it. We've done another one, whatever number this was. What number was this?
157.
157. Thank you, Tom Houston.
Oh, yes, sir.
Thank you, Don Shaw.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For your refreshments and your hospitality, sir.
Yeah.
And
what
time will supper be ready?
Supper will be ready at about 6 o'clock.
Well, and we'll try to be gone. Try to be gone by then. Thanks, sir. I'm Phil Parsi, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.